Ebaro karuna koro Vaishnava gosha. Patita pavana toma bine kona. Yahara nikate gele papaduri hija. Yahara nikate gele Abaturi hija. Emona doyala prabhu keva kotapa. Gangara pashara hoire pachate pahava. Gangara pashara hoire Achate Pahava. Dashane Pavitra Kohe Tomaguna. Ashvane Vajra Koya Haristane Aparade Antare Harina. Tomastane aparade naharitran. Tomastane aparade naharitran. Tomastane aparade naha paritra. Tomararidoye sada Govinda Vishra. Govinda Tomaradidaye sada Govinda Vishraha. Govinda kohe namora Vaishnaparan Mora Vaishnaparan Pati janme kore asha Janera duli Pati janme kore asha Janera duli Narate men kora doya apana boli Naratame Narate men kora doya apana boli Vaishnav Thakur Jayam Vaishnav Thakur Jayam Vaishnav Thakur Jay Vaishnav Thakur Jaya Vaishnav Thakur Jayam Vaishnav Thakur Jayam Vaishnav Thakur Jay Vaishnav Thakur Prabhupada 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada
Jai Om Vishnu Pad, Farma Hamza Bhishars, Tushrita Satya, Shri A.C. Bhaktivinanta Swami, Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai, Samaveta Bhaktivinanta Ki. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to those feet to Shri Guru and Shri Guranga.
Kitty.
No. Can you grab that for me, please? Okay.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Thank you.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 10, Text 17. Title of the chapter is Maharaj Ranugana Meets Jadabharat. So, fifth canto, as we all know, is such a heavy canto, and it definitely can take away all material detachments. So, just make sure. Okay.
Naham Vishanke Sura Rajavrajan. Natrin Tri Yaksha Sulana Yamashya Dandat. Nagiyakra sumanira vita pashratraj Kanche Prisham Brahma Kula Vamanat Naham Vishanke Surada Javrajan Naitrak Trakshasuna Nayam Yashadandas Nangi Arkasumani Lavitav Pastrat.
Usually works.
Kanche Visham Brahma Kulavamana.
Prabhu. Me. Ladies. Na, not, aham, I, Vishanke, am afraid, Sura Raja Vajra, from the thunderbolt of the King of Heaven, Indra, na, nor, Trayaksha Sulat, from the piercing trident of Lord Shiva. Na nor Jamayamasha, the super of the superintendent of death. Yamaraj. Dandat, from the punishment. Na nor Agni, of fire. Akra, arka, of the scorching heat of the sun. Soma, of the moon. Anila, of the wind. Vitapa, of the owner of riches. Kuvera, the treasurer of the heavenly planets. Yeah. Astrat, from the weapons. Sanke, I am afraid. Brisham, very much. Brahmakura, the group of the Brahmanas. Avamanat, from offending. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. My dear sir, I am not at all afraid of the thunderbolt of King Indra, nor am I afraid of the serpentine piercing trident of Lord Shiva. I do not care about the punishment of Yamaraj, the superintendent of death, nor I am afraid of fire, scorching sun, moon, wind, nor the weapons of Kuvera. I am afraid of offending a Brahmin. I am very much afraid of this. Purport. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was instructing Rupa Goswami, in Prayag, he pointed out very clearly the seriousness of offending a Vaishnava. He compared the Vaishnava aparad to the Hatimata, a mad elephant offense. When a mad elephant enters a garden, it spoils all the fruits and flowers. Similarly, If one offends a Vaishnava, he spoils all his spiritual assets. Offending a Brahmin is very dangerous, and this was well known to Maharaj Rahugana. He therefore frankly admitted his fault. There are many dangerous things, thunderbolts, fire, Yamaraj's punishment, the punishment of Lord Shiva's trident, and so forth. But none is considered as serious as offending a Brahmin, like Jed Bharat. Therefore, Maharaj Rahugana immediately descended from his palanquin and fell flat before the lotus feet of the Brahmin, Jed Bharat, just to be excused. Heavy verse. Om Gyana Tidam Nishaganandana Shilakaya Takshu Unmiratamyana Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manopistam Stapita Yena Bhutade Svayam Rupa Kadamiyana Tati Swapatantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Rama Hare Rama Swaprastastab Jyasikamaya Sukutu Nibhumi Vritema Hendramacha Pyaja Janam Govardhanam Eti Shatamabhistam. So, the background is that because Maharaj, because Jed Bharat was, you know, kind of like totally aloof from everything in the world. He was walking around, was totally, you know, like a madman. And so, the king, Maharaj Rahugana, he grabbed, you know, said, come lift up my palanquin. And of course, because Jed Bharat was totally absorbed in Krishna consciousness, whenever there was little ants walking, Jed Bharat would move out of the way. So the king, who was up on the palanquin, all nice and comfortable, was going like this and shaking around. It was almost like a ride at the carnival for him. And he was like, who's this idiot? What? And all the other palanquin carriers were all pointing to the new guy. Because that's what we do. We always point to the new guy when something goes wrong. So it's his fault. He doesn't know how to carry it properly. Right? So Maharaj Rahugana started using very, heavy language to Jed Bharat. And Jed Bharat, Jed means stone, so he's just like a stone, indifferent. You know? So, here in this verse, we're talking about Vaishnava Aparad. Bah, the mad elephant fence. The one offense that Krishna himself won't forgive you from. Right? We read many times in Sastra about personalities that make offenses to Vaishnavas, and then see what happened. You even look at Srivas Pandit was so envious of him, of his kirtans with the Lord and Srivasanga, and that they put all this paraphernalia for Kali Puja outside of his house, right? One Brahmin did this. And so Srivas Pandit came out and he said, yes, 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 I want to declare, I do Kali Puja every day. All of this is mine. And of course the devotees, you know, they knew that this isn't Srivas, you know, this is not at all. So, he's not Srivas Acharya, no. And so what happened to this Brahmin? This Brahmin ended up developing leprosy. And then Lord Chaitanya saw this Brahmin walking. And he said, Brahmin said, oh, my dear Lord, please forgive me for this offense to the lotus feet of your Vaishnavas. And what did Lord Chaitanya say? Did he say, okay, no problem, hocus pocus, it's all gone now? No, Lord Chaitanya said, no, you must beg forgiveness from the offense of the devotee you've committed this offense against. Right? We even see the example of Mother Sachi offending Advaita Acharya, right? And then the Lord telling her to go and beg forgiveness from Advaita Acharya also. So many times do we see in scripture and sastra about and hear and learn about Vaishnava Aparad, but yet we still haven't figured it out. Right? We still haven't understood that this is what keeps us from advancing at all. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj used to say all the time, he used to say that if somebody is not happy in Krishna consciousness, it's because of Vaishnava Aparad. Right? Because if one makes Vaishnava Aparad, Krishna will not even accept your chanting. It's all for nothing. Everything is for nothing. Krishna won't even accept it. Won't accept your offering. You make this whole offering and Krishna won't even accept it. Why? Because you've offended one of his devotees. And if you look, isn't that one of the offenses of the holy name? Right? So blasphemy devotees that dedicate their lives to the propagation of the holy name of the Lord. Well, that's every Vaishnava. Right? It's not that we can talk bad about some Vaishnavas, and then other Vaishnavas, you know, we gotta totally, you know, and glorify all the time. It's actually, we're supposed to glorify all the Vaishnavas. We're supposed to always look for the good qualities of people. It's hard, especially in this age of Kali, because it's an ocean of faults. Everybody in this age of Kali is just a pervert. Everybody in this age of Kali is just so bad, so horrible, so many bad things in the heart, so many anarthas, so many desires, so much fame everybody wants, right? But the Vaishnava is supposed to not even see any of this and just see the good. Just see the positives. Just see and glorify. Right? This is a devotee of Krishna. This person is trying on the devotional path. And that's what separates advanced devotees from unadvanced devotees. Right? Unadvanced devotees, they see themselves as better than everyone else. You know, they see everyone else as more advanced than them. They see it as that every devotee should give them respect. Every devotee should bow and kiss their footsies and everything. And it's a fact. This is what the Kanishtha does. The Kanishtha thinks himself the highest. He thinks nobody is more wonderful than me. Nobody can sing as good as me. Nobody can play mridanga as good as me. Nobody can dance as good as me. I am the best, right? While the Uttama Adhikari comes down off the topmost platform to become everybody's servant, right? To serve all the Vaishnavas, not just the senior Vaishnavas. So we have this really weird tradition in ISKCON of we only serve senior devotees, and then junior devotees or peers we just ignore and we don't serve them. We just kind of just, yeah, whatever, you're either junior or you're the same as me. I only serve the senior people, right? You see this quite often within our society, that this idea of only those that are senior we're supposed to serve lovingly, right? We notice it many times. How, you know, the Swami, he comes in and or the Grihastha Guru comes in, he does Tulsi Puja, and he takes off his chatter and throws it on the floor, and all the disciples are fighting over who goes over there and folds it up nice and neat for him and puts it on a cushion. But then the average bhakta goes and does Tulsi Puja and he throws his chatter off and it just sits there in a bundle on the floor. Because the idea is that we only serve seniors. So to make advancement in our Krishna consciousness, we have to serve every living entity in this material world. Every living entity. Gopa Kumar says in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita that real humility is realizing every living entity is more advanced than you. This is what real humility means. Seeing that every living entity is more advanced, and therefore every living entity you're supposed to serve. Right? How are we supposed to serve? Is it just like, I remember I was at a temple once in South America, and somebody was serving the Sunday feast, and he was coming up, and he was just like, it was like in prison, you know? Like, he just took the prasad and the plate and the spoon and went, Hare Krishna, and threw it on the plate, you know, and it splattered all over the place, all over the devotees, all over everything. Right? How are we supposed to serve? If we want to cultivate the kripa that is in our heart, then we have to appreciate and value the Vaishnavas. Right? We have to. Because the mercy only comes through the Vaishnavas. Right? Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, it's okay, it's cool to serve me, but even better to serve my Vaishnav. You want to please me, you serve my Vaishnav. Right? Serving. Developing loving relationships amongst the Vaishnavas. This is what's written in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that we're supposed to develop loving exchanges among the Vaishnavas. You know? Loving exchanges. Not impersonal relationships, not relationships based on external circumstances, not externals, but actually looking and seeing that this person is a Vaishnava, and this person can give so much mercy, that this person can help me in my Krishna consciousness. Even the most new bhakta can help me advance in my Krishna consciousness. I remember once when I was in South Africa, I was with my spiritual master, and we were walking, and my spiritual master sneezed, and one new devotee, brand new devotee, said, "Oh, God bless you." It's polite, you know. And then one devotee started yelling at him, "Who the hell do you think you are to bless him? He's a sannyasi. You're just a bhakta. Who are you?" And then my spiritual master asked to stop them, and he said, "What are you talking about? I'm also dependent on the mercy of the Vaishnavas. Please, God bless me. Give me all the blessings, because I also am dependent on them to advance spiritually." Right? We're dependent on the mercy of the Vaishnavas. Every morning we pay obeisances, Vanshakalpa, Kurusha, Kripasundavieva, Chapaditanam, Pavanyo, Vaishnaveyo, Namo Namaha. Right? They're desire trees, they're kalpa vriksha trees, and they fulfill all desires that are given, that are asked for. It's so easy to make advancement in this Krishna consciousness movement. You go to any Vaishnava and you ask him. Go to Mother Rupa Manjari and ask her, "Mother Rupa Manjari, please give me blessings to distribute some of Prabhupada's books." And Mother Rupa Manjari will say, "It shall be. Here you go, take them." You go to Jamastami and you say, "Prabhu, please give me blessings that I find a spiritual master." "It shall be, no problem." The devotees are so merciful, they're so wonderful, they're so easy to please, that how can we keep on going on just being mean to them? At one point, Krishna will kick you away from the association of the devotees if you don't treat them nicely. At one point, Krishna said, "Enough is enough." I learned this the hard way. I remember I was living in a temple for so long, and then I got sent to Iraq of all places. Not even one devotee in the whole country. And I was thinking, why did he do this to me? And I thought, because I didn't treat the devotees nicely. And so now he sent me to do the. Now he sent me here in this nasty, dirty place, to suffer because of this, right? But offenses are so, they're so heavy. The reaction can be very, very heavy for committing an offense to a Vaishnav, right? So we look at the heaviness involved, that Krishna does not tolerate that. It says in this bhajan that we sang by Narottam Das Thakur, that Krishna will forgive you if you commit offense to him, but to his Vaishnav he won't at all. But yet, why do we keep on committing offenses? Because of the false ego, right? It's that Maya is very tricky, right? And Maya is hidden in all different parts of our body. In our senses, our Maya is hidden there, in our limbs, in our tongue, everywhere Maya is hidden, right? And the biggest thing that Maya, her biggest tool in her arsenal is our ego. Because our ego is so strong, our ego is so big, it keeps us down. We always think little of other people. It's easy in the material world. It's easier to belittle people than it is to actually look at the good side. I remember one Chaturmasya. For those that don't know, Chaturmasya is four months. And I thought, for Chaturmasya, I will just glorify the Vaishnavas every day, right? I will just say good things about the Vaishnavas, because I'm a very negative person to begin with. So I thought I would just say something good every day, and I'll go to the Vaishnav that I hate. The one that I really don't like, you know, the one that gets on my nerves all the time. And I would go and every day I'll tell him how wonderful he is. And it became so hard. Day one was okay. Day two was okay. Day three, oh, I did it. Day four, I did it. And as the days went on, it became harder and harder and harder, right? But afterwards, it was an amazing thing. After the Chaturmasya Vrat was over, I spoke to the devotee, and he said, "You've been so nice to me over the last 4 months. What's going on? Are you dying? You know, what's going on? Because you're never nice to me. You never even talk to me. Why all of a sudden are you talking to me?" And I said, "Well, you know, I made this Vrat, and I went to the person I really can't stand. Sorry." And I said, "Okay, for this next 4 months, I'm just going to glorify this person as much as I can." I even put a picture of this person on my altar. And when I was doing Giriraj Puja, I would worship first him. I would do puja to him first, and then I do puja to my spiritual master, and then I do puja to Giriraj, right? And so then, and he said, "Well, how do you feel now after 4 months?" And I said, "Well, I actually starting to think you're a nice person. I really, like, now I have some kind of affection for you. Like, all the things that used to annoy me, they kind of don't bother me so much anymore. Right? So by constant glorification of the devotees, we can constantly overcome these anarthas. We can constantly start seeing the good in people, the good in devotees, because we're all trying. There's bad things we all do. I mean, I can make a list of all the bad stuff I do as a devotee. I fry people out. I'm too heavy at times. I'm heavy at times. Sometimes I'm stuck in my ways, and I'm sorry if Prabhupada says something, I don't really change from it. I just kind of go with it. And I see that a lot of these times, just by doing this simple vrat that I did, it really gave Krishna consciousness a new perspective for me. It wasn't any more that I would just say, chant the mantra, you know, Vancha Kalpa. You know, it's like we try and sing it, say it as fast as possible. Sometimes it's like a race. It's like, who can chant it first, you know, finish it. It's like, Vancha Kalpa Gunashra Kripa Sundi Veva Chapta Pitanam Bhavanim. Before you know it, the people are up. Right? The people are up and going. But then you have those fortunate souls that that taste the mantra. That as they chanting it, they're relishing the association of Vaishnavas. They're relishing, right, to be in such a sangha. Because if you're not in this sangha, you're in the sangha outside, which is hellish. Which there is hardly any advancement. So we have to seize the day, take advantage of the opportunity that's presented before us. And we're seeing here from the example that, you know, Maharaj Rahugana is saying, I don't care about Yamaraj. Who cares about that? You know? I don't care about, you know, fire, scorching sun, moon, wind, any weapons. No way. I'm just scared of offending a devotee. And he doesn't just stop there. He says, I am very much afraid of this. He doesn't say, well, I'm afraid of it. No, he says, I'm very much afraid of this. And this is what we all must be. Like Prabhupada says, before one has to become Krishna conscious, one has to become conscious. One has to treat others how they want to be treated. One has to serve. Right? In this way, our false ego starts going lower. Right? We become more stable in our relationships. We're able to taste a little bit more the different rasas that we have with people. Because if we can't taste relationships with humans, how can we taste a relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead? It's impossible. If you can't have a meaningful relationship with somebody here, how are you going to have a meaningful relationship with God, who's inconceivable? The material world is practice for the spiritual world. Everything we do here spiritually is to get us ready for when we go back to Vrindavan. Right? It's stated by the Goswamis in their literature that the devotee has two bodies, right? Sadaka Deha and a Siddha Deha. Sadaka Deha means the material body, right? And he goes through the motions of performing all of his activities, spiritual activities in Krishna consciousness in the sadhaka deha, here in the material world, to purify the consciousness and perfect them, so that when he attains his siddha, when he goes back to the spiritual world, he becomes whatever he is, a cow, a gopi, a gopa, a piece of grass, a cockroach, who knows, you know, a burfi, who knows what, you know, a flute, who knows what they're going to be, and then, right, so then they perfect it. So the idea here in this material world is to make the most out of a bad bargain. The material world is a bad bargain. Right? Jai Shishirada Gopinath ki, Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani ki, Shishagornisai ki. So, Vaishnava Parad. It really is destroys our whole, everything we work for is destroyed in 1 second. In 1 second, years and years and years of spiritual austerities, years and years and years of diving into the process, years and years and years of memorizing slokas after slokas after slokas, years and years of worshipping the deities, Archana, years and years of serving prasad, years and years is gone with just one word. Heavy, isn't it? Hopefully it makes me want to think about actually not offending people anymore. I'm quite good at it. I've got it down to a science. But maybe it's time for me to change. Maybe it's time for me to understand how special and valuable the people within this room are. And not just the people within this room, but everybody who comes here. Right? The Vaishnavas are the key to our advancement. You pay obeisances on this floor, and you're covering yourself in the dust of the lotus feet of the Vaishnavas. Right? If you really want to have fun, you can go out, and when everybody's in class, you can go and roll in the shoes of the Vaishnavas and do that also. You know? This is how we make advancement, by serving, by developing relationships, by grabbing the mercy from the Vaishnavas. In Vrindavan, whenever I go to Vrindavan, I pay the shoewala at Krishna Balaram temple. I pay him for the day, and I sit there and I do his job of the shoes, you know? Even though he's so much better at it, because he can remember everybody's shoes. For some reason, he gets like 7,000 people a day, and he's just like, yeah, size 8, Tevas, yeah, I got you right here. He just knows them perfectly, right? But for during my usual 1 month or 2 months in Vrindavan, I do this. I go and I do his service for the day, and I hand out the shoes to all the Vaishnavas. In a way, I'm stealing all the dust also, right? We have to do it. We have to steal the mercy from the Vaishnavas. Which means that the mercy is serving. We have to develop the service attitude. This is what's going to attract Krishna's attention. This is what's going to keep us on the devotional path, the bhakti marg, by serving. All your scholarly knowledge, you'll forget when you get old. Most of us, you know. I mean, it's a fact. We don't remember things as we get the age goes. We don't remember things as good as we used to. So we'll forget some of these things. We won't be able to memorize. We won't be able to quote thousands and thousands of slokas. If we're lucky, some of us will be able to quote 2 slokas or 1 sloka. Right? Right? We get old. Everything is gonna stop. We're not gonna be able to serve as much as we used to. So what we do now, while we're physically able to, is going to pay off in the long run at the time of death. Right? Just think, if you're nasty to Vaishnavas, do you really think they're going to be there when you leave your body? If you offend the Vaishnavas, do you really think that they're going to be by your bed helping you go back to Krishna? Do you? No. It's confirmed, I guess. Wow, Hare Krishna. So, if anything, I implore everyone, including myself, to take every day as a dad. In San Jose, we used to do this thing, this program called Dad. You know, Devotee Appreciation Day. It's where all the devotees would come together and they would glorify one another. Right? And they would, for like 6 or 7 hours, the devotees would just glorify one another and then have a huge feast. And then, you know, everything in Krishna consciousness involves feasting. It's like, it just doesn't work if it, you know, just part of the process. And you can see that the community they've built is quite wonderful, where everyone appreciates everyone. There's no harsh words, right? We have to take every day and develop it as a dad, starting today. Every day taking an opportunity to appreciate the Vaishnavas, even if it means just going up to them and saying thank you for your service. Right? The things devotees are scared of in Krishna consciousness, we're scared to have fun. Right? We're scared to be ourselves and actually have fun because we're scared everyone looks at us. We want to dance all wacky and stuff. But we're scared. We don't do it because, well, we think people will judge us. And then the other thing, we're scared to say thank you. Right? It's true. The devotee comes around with the ghee lamp, and everyone's just like, and that's it. Nobody says, oh, thank you, Prabhu. Nobody. Right? We little things that go a long way. It's called emotional deposits. Right? We have a bank account, and we make emotional deposits into those bank accounts. And by just thinking of somebody and doing something nice for somebody is a big deposit. And it pays off. It benefits us. Spiritually, it pays off peace of mind. And this is what we see. Raghunath Das Goswami, he would run away if somebody was speaking negatively about the Vaishnavas. He would run away. He would run as fast as possible. Just for hearing this. He didn't want to hear this. Right. So this is... the process is meant to purify the heart. So it's a process. The chanting, dancing, feasting, you know, smaranam, remembering. All of these things are meant to purify the consciousness. And the Vaishnavas are our shelter to purify, to go back to Godhead. We should... Lord Chaitanya asked, what is the most hellish place on this world? On this planet? Does anybody know what Lord Chaitanya said? Place where there's no Vaishnavas. It's the most hellish place. And then, and Lord Chaitanya said, well, what's the best place in this world? That place which is with the Vaishnavas, right? It's the most wonderful, it's the spiritual world. But the worst and most hellish place. So we should make, today, every day, we should make an endeavor. And just, not just hear sastra, you know, sit in class and think, what do I have to do today? But actually allow it to penetrate our hearts. Because we're going through all these same... The Bhagavatam is our life. I don't know if people have realized that yet, but the Bhagavatam is our life. Everything we go through has been going through in the Bhagavatam. We are all put in the same positions, give or take a little bit. And the difference is these personalities choose to do the right thing, and majority of people choose to do the wrong thing here. So let's allow this to penetrate the heart. Allow... this to allow these very important pastimes to shape our Krishna consciousness so that we become devotees of substance, devotees of shelter, right? Tangible devotees that are able to make a difference in the world. Because everyone is a Vaishnava in this world. It's just they haven't realized it yet. The seed is dormant in the heart. And through the process, that seed is awoken and a creeper starts to sprout. So every living entity in this world is a Vaishnav. You just have to see it. The verse in the Bhagavad Gita, the humble sage sees with equal vision the super soul and the cow, the dog eater, the brahmana, the tree, so forth. Right? Every living entity is a Vaishnav. We have to develop this. If we want to advance, we have to beg for the mercy of the Vaishnavas. We have to beg for the shelter of the Vaishnavas. And our prayer every day to the Lord shouldn't be, Govindam, what's for breakfast? Is it Khichdi again? It should be, my dear Lord, please allow me to constantly stay in the association of Vaishnavas. Allow me to just remain a small, insignificant servant at the Vaishnavas' lotus feet. This should be our prayer every day. So, okay, I'll end here. It's been a long day for me already, so I'm a little tired. But it's actually quite nice. For me, this verse takes a little bit more meaning because I'm leaving tomorrow for a 2-month hospital stay in America with no devotee association. So it was kind of funny how Krishna arranged that I speak on this verse right before I'm leaving to go away for 2 months. And I really hope that what was said, because I don't know, but when I give class, I'm usually speaking to myself because I'm my biggest fan, so I know I'll listen. So, you know, so I usually speak to myself. So, and sometimes I listen, but I'm hoping today I listen. And I really, over the next 2 months, truly take shelter of the Vaishnavas in my heart, and I really learn how special and valuable they are, and how they're absolutely necessary for me to go back home to Krishna. And sometimes Krishna does these things for us to appreciate more. So I'm really hoping that this is what Krishna's plan is for me. So I want to thank you very much for allowing me to speak on this verse, because it was just what I needed. for my Krishna consciousness, hopefully. So I'd like to, any questions, comments, political statements, anything at all? Any questions? No? What to do? Jayavaita Maharaj says if you don't upset somebody during Bhagavatam class, then it's not a real class. No, that's what his theory is. Yes? Just by being more conscious of what you're doing. You know, it's the famous story, about, I believe it was Raghunath Das Goswami, how he was engaged in Lila Smaranam, meditating on the Lord's Astakalya Lila, and just then a crippled walked by, and something was going on in the Lila, and he was laughing hysterically, right? But the cripple thought, he's laughing at me, and took offense, you know, and then immediately, Saksha Darshan was finished. Immediately, he couldn't make that penetration anymore into the spiritual world immediately, right? So, it's very simple. We just have to look at how our relationships are with people. If we become active in our relationships, if we become active in how we deal with people, then we can tell when we fry people out or not. Because there's a way to say things very heavy and make it so sweet. Like, look at Satchinanda Maharaj, right? Satchinanda Maharaj, during a kirtan retreat, he'll say, "My dear devotees, sit down, relax. Very nice, everyone is here. Everyone, sit down and meditate on the holy name." Really, he's saying, "Sit down and shut up." But he's saying it in such a nice way and so sweet. And he, like, sugarcoats it and puts a nice little bow on it and a candy cane, and he makes it very nice and pretty. And all the Vaishnavas just immediately accept it, you know? But if he was to say, "Hey, just sit down already," then somebody would get offended. Right? So there's a way of presenting things with tact. Not just being like, you know, like a mad bull, you know, just throwing stuff everywhere, but, you know, like a ballerina. Very delicate, and there's a way. And that's where also loving exchanges come in with devotees, because, you know, if we don't have a loving exchange with that devotee, then no matter when we correct them, they'll always take offense. Right? If we don't have any meaningful relationship, then they'll just take offense anyway, because the only time you can really correct somebody is if you're senior to them. Because if you're a peer, the person just says, "Oh, he's jealous." If you're a junior, he says, "Oh, he's just trying to keep me down." It's always something, you know. Nobody ever takes responsibility for what they're doing wrong. It's a fact, you know. It's just the material world. It's how everything works, and that's how everyone becomes president and everyone becomes Fortune 500 people, by stepping on the person below them. Right? So it's important to having loving exchanges where you can correct people, where you can say things to people, and they don't take offense, because they understand their best interest is in heart. Right? It's when you correct people or when you say something to somebody, if they really feel that you don't care about them. And this is what many devotees feel. Let's be honest about everything, and let's keep it real, and let's, you know, majority of devotees feel a lot of times that people don't care about them. I know I feel like that many times, you know, that we don't have so many personal loving exchanges. So when people say stuff to us, we take it immediately as something as hurtful, you know. So that's why it's so important to develop these loving relationships where you can tell somebody, you know, like, "Hey, Prabhu, don't slam dance with Tulsi." You know, I remember that was the first thing I got yelled at, you know, in the temple. It was in the Shinga farm in Germany. And we were doing Tulsi Puja, and I'm from New York, and punk rock background, and, you know, and I was going around Tulsi, and I was knocking into Tulsi, and the pujari almost wanted to hit me with the bell, you know. He was just getting so fried, right? And then somebody, you know, grabbed me and started yelling at me, and it turned me off completely, because I didn't even know who this person was, you know. But then when my bhakta leader came and talked to me, and he said, "You know, Prabhu, Tulsi loves your enthusiasm, and she probably does want to dance with you. but you shouldn't slam dance with her. It's not quite nice. And because I knew this devotee had an interest in me, we had a very close relationship, we were Sankirtan partners, I had a complete trust in him, that I was able to take that constructive criticism. Right? You know, that's why nowadays for me, if I find somebody does something weird or a little bit off, I just find somebody they're friends with and I just tell them to, you know, I just tell them about it and ask them to speak to them because, you know, I'm not a manager. I'm nobody, thank God. So I don't have to worry about these things so much. But did that answer your question at all? You just have to be conscious. And you should make notice of it. I mean, we know if we're making offenses or not. I mean, it doesn't take like somebody with a PhD or somebody that goes to Bhaktivedanta College to figure out if we're making an offense. We all know it. It's all there. You know, immediately you're making an offense because of how you feel afterwards. So even if the person doesn't make offense, still some atonement should be there. Do something nice for them. Something nice. If you're really feeling in your heart you made an offense, and even though the Vaishnav doesn't take it, and he just brushes it off and blows it off like, yeah, anyway, then you should do something nice for that person anyway, because then at least in your heart you feel better about what you did. You've corrected it. Some atonement has to be there. Yes, Tush. I mean, it's like a lot of the times we're so false in our relationships. Like, what was it the other day? Maybe Rasamandala Prabhu were talking, and he said, it was weird how Krishna arranged for me to come to your house. And I said, yeah, so I can make even more offenses. He was like, oh, which ones have you made already on the list? You know, he was just like, you know, so a lot of the things we say are very empty and very, we're many times we're like, you know, please accept Prabhu when we see a devotee. Please accept my most humble obeisances at your feet, you know. And a lot of times we don't mean it, you know. So, I mean, we shouldn't try and be the friend of everybody. I mean, humanly, it's not even possible. The human intelligence can just have 10 to 12 close relationships, right? That's why it says in Sastra that one shouldn't, you know, reveal their guru, one shouldn't reveal their bhajan, unless it's a very confidential person. Like, all these things are very confidential, it says in the Bhakti Rasarita Sindhu. So, how to balance it. Nobody says you have to be friends with it. Just because you say hi to somebody, you're not a friend. That doesn't make you a friend. It just makes you an acquaintance. I mean, we have to understand. We have a small, like that big, circle of friends around us. And the rest are just acquaintances. You know? So let's define what friends are. I know Keshava Bharati Maharaj and Vaisheshika Prabhu, they can finish each other's sentences, and they do it all the time. You know, one will start a sentence and the other will finish it. It's hilarious to watch. It's just like they'll be taking prasad and the Vaish will start with something, and then Maharaj will, pipe in with something else. And it's, yeah, I was going to say that. So the idea is not to be friends with everybody, but the idea is to be respectful to everyone, you know. The idea is that we should be respectful to everyone, and we should at least appreciate everybody on a Vaishnava level. Now that we appreciate everybody on a Vaishnava level, we can have our inner circle of friends that we can talk with very confidentially. But yeah, we shouldn't try and be everybody's friend, because it's not our nature. Right? I mean, me personally, I'd rather somebody come to me and say, I hate you, than act like they're my friend. I just like the truth. I just like it. Let's not, tiptoe through the bushes and all these things. Let's just call a spade a spade, and let's just, look, we don't get along. So it's not that, like, it's not like in the example I gave about that vrat, it's not that me and that guy became best friends and we would hold hands and skip through to Prashadam Hall and, you know, and we would call each other on the phone or go on Facebook and be like, oh, what you doing? No, but we learned appreciation of one another. Right? He learned appreciation for the fact that I was trying to look at the good in him. I was trying to overcome these bad things that were really, like, turning me off, because it's a fact. We're all individuals, so therefore, you know, we don't get along, all of us. You know, we have our type of people we like, and, you know, and he became, and I got a deeper understanding of him as a Vaishnav. And that's cool. We weren't trying to be best friends. So the thing is like, you should keep your number of friends small, manageable. But even better than that is respecting all the Vaishnavas for being Vaishnavas and not trying to be everybody's friend. Saying a kind word doesn't mean friendship. It just means being nice. Mean being polite. And then from there, you know, develop those close relationships with certain Vaishnavas that fit into your bhav, fit into your mood. I mean, that's just how it goes. So the balance is to respect them. Nobody's saying you have to go and you have to be best friends with everybody in this room. Everyone here is now my best friend. Right? Every one of them. Besties forever. BFFs. Every one of us. It's not possible. It's only possible for Krishna. You know, so the balance is respect. You can respect everybody. For the fact they wear tilak and kantimala and a dhoti and they're trying. And that's good. And that's better than trying to be friends with everyone. Because you just, it's all empty friendships mostly. You know? You see how many times have we been disappointed by our so-called friends? So often. That's why it's better just to have a few. And deeply develop that. You know? So that's how the balance point is. Good? Good? Subtik? Jamastami, you had a question? Yeah. Yeah, because, you know, Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Piyojana Janayati Suvairagyam Chanatirata Haitukam is my favorite verse. One of my favorite verses. Because it says, when somebody engages in devotional practice, immediately causeless knowledge and detachment from the material world is given. But and Prabhupada says in the Nectar of Instruction, text 5, he says that if somebody takes seriously the initiation, then that person is already at the Madhyamadikari platform at the time of initiation. But why don't we stay at the Madhyam platform? Vaishnav Aparad. That's why we drop back down to the Kanishtha. So already, the time we get the beads and the name and the diksha and the mantra, we're already Madhyams. But because we keep on committing Vaishnav Aparad, we fall back down into the Kanishtha platform. And then we're stuck there. And we just poke fingers at everyone else. Yeah. But so it's important. It's true. If you're not happy, it's because of Vaishnav Aparad. Powerful. And if you are happy, it's because the Vaishnavas like you. It's because you're getting the mercy of the Vaishnavas. So it's a balancing act. That's why Krishna consciousness is a razor's edge. Right? Go too much on one side, you fall. Go too much on the other side, you fall. It's a straight razor's edge. It's like a tightrope act. When I was in the army, I had to walk once a tightrope, and I wasn't so good at it. I kept on falling, you know, except they didn't have any net underneath, you know, so we just fell. It was to teach you not to fall, so it was like, doom, and I kept on having to go up, and I must have done it like 60 times before I finally made it across, you know. It wasn't like 100 feet in the air, but it was enough to hurt, you know, muscle memory. So it's a tightrope. And sometimes you lean a little bit towards one side, and then you got to, you know, counterbalance, and then... But if you just serve the Vaishnavas, then the battle is there. You're halfway back to Godhead by serving Vaishnavas. That's what's going to attract Krishna. He doesn't care about your burfi and everything else. He just cares about how you treat his devotees. If you treat him nasty, well, then he's going to make life difficult. If you treat him very nice, I mean, the mentality of most people is, hey, I can treat people however I want, and then I'll just walk around Tulsi. It's all good. You know, don't worry about it. Never fear, Tulsi's here. Walk around. 26 seva aparads are nullified. Even killing a Brahmin is, right? Just walk around Tulsi, but it's not true. It's Vaishnava aparad. Only the Vaishnava can forgive you. Anyway. Yeah. Sorry to be a heavy class. Usually I give funny classes, but, you know, so heavy. Yeah, I just have to do better myself. That's the problem. It's easier to say it. Easier said than done, but let's see actions speak louder than words. And let's try and put these practical applications of the philosophy into place. I mean, I remember one time I offended a Vaishnav. And, you know, the guy was chanting his rounds while watching TV, the devotee. And I said, "You can't do that." And he said, "Who are you to tell me not to?" And I was just like, "Ah." And he got so offended, you know. For months, I would try and do everything, you know. I would cook for him. He wouldn't even accept it. "I'm not even accepting your prasad." I would do everything, you know. And then finally, I had the idea to iron his kopins, you know, to wash and iron his undergarments, right? And I put a lot of starch in there so it'd be really, like, you know, stiff. You know, so I made him like really flat and perfect and folded in pukka and put it in. And then after that, he's like, "How can you get mad at somebody for doing that?" You know, like, so we have to, so if we offend a devotee, we have to figure out anything it takes to get their forgiveness. You know, what to do? Life is difficult, but the material world is impossible. So, anything else? Any other classes? Any other questions, comments, concerns? Okay. Well, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Ananta koti Vaishnavinda ki jai.